you. Welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate, creative, and your dedicated digital sister. Hi, welcome to another episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. I hope you're doing well wherever you are. That summer is officially happening wherever you are. Since we last spoke, it was my birthday. I also mentioned a bit about my family going through something that has now stabilized, so things are looking much better, and we're all a lot wiser from the experience, or really trying to get what we can learn from it and what can give us grounding and how we can, I don't know, like be there for each other differently in the future. So speaking on that subject, one subject that really came out of the whole experience is some reflections on mental health in Black families or in African homes. And I think it's quite interesting how as more aware you become and as more the more interested you become in learning about social justice or just social issues, particularly those pertaining to Black existence and African people all over the world, on the continent and in that diaspora, or even if you're on your own decolonizing journey and trying to heal holistically, because I feel like decolonization is, especially personal decolonization, is about personal healing and trying to reframe your existence and trying to let go of things that were put on you that no longer serve you. Did they ever serve you if they were from colonialism? Even though I do believe it's also important to take a holistic approach to that, in the sense that don't throw away the baby with the bathwater, as I said before. There are some stuff we can still use in everything, even in colonialism. Yes, gasp, even I took a long time to admit that to myself, but there are certain things, like for example, the English language, the fact that a lot of people in the diaspora do speak English, and that is due to colonization, but it also helps us to decode and unlearn and create communities of support and encouragement based in our own reality and creating new tools through languages that unify us as a people. By going back to the whole mental health and how it cannot be avoided when you are on your own self-healing decolonization journey, it's hard for us to go through the grasp of our history, of our trauma, past and present. And even if you are a bit familiar with generational trauma and how it's passed on, even though you didn't experience something specifically, it can be something that lingers through culture, traditions in your home, or even things that people say, that's just how we do things here. There is a lot of things we pass on through our homes, through each other, through ways of being that come from a very unhealthy way. I've used my family as a case study because of the things I am interested in, just my own upbringing, seeing how my mother handled certain things, how my father handled certain things, how my grandparents handled certain things, and how I'm trying to handle certain things, and therefore how I would like to do things differently going forward. But you cannot see all that without addressing the fact of our mental state in Black homes. Even though we can admit that racism as a structural nuisance is constantly on our heads, in the water, in the air we breathe, and it's something that most Black people are aware of to a certain extent, that the world we live in is created through racist structures and it's upheld through racist structures. Even if you're talking about capitalism, globalism, religion, a lot of parts of our everyday life are held together by the glue of racism, past and present. And even though racism sometimes changes, like we talk about in colonialism, how colonialism doesn't end, but then it merges into something we can now understand as neo-colonialism. The fact is always questioning the present and questioning the wording and the structures and the foundation that we base our existence on in a way that you can't really undo or heal something unless you're willing to distract it in some way and really look at all the opponents by themselves. And even reflecting on my own mental health, I've noticed something, that a lot of my healing has come from parts that have been distracted in me, if that makes sense. My first meeting with myself spiritually, emotionally, and mentally was after my first proper breakup when I was 17, 18, and that really threw me off the edge. I don't think that that was entirely the breakup's fault, but the breakup did click or just push over the last sanity I was trying to hold on to. But the aftermath of that breakup and how sad it made me and depressed was me figuring out what is happening in my foundation. Why is it so weak? I'm not saying that if you go through a hard breakup, you are essentially weak. I'm not saying that being weak is bad. It's just that all those emotions and feelings and states of existence, I think, are there to also teach us where the cracks in our foundation might be. And for me, the breakup really showed me that there were a lot of cracks in my foundation of existence that I needed to work on. And it started my ongoing journey on questioning and understanding myself, and trying to be there for myself holistically and create a self-sufficient existence as possible. And now I'm talking mostly from intangible things as emotional, mental, and physical well-being, which is important, that you should be a self-sustaining entity amongst other self-sustaining entity, but then you together create an overall self-sustaining entity. I don't believe in hyper-dependency, but I'm also quite aware that a lot of us do come from a high level of codependency, and that also relates to a lot of our mental issues in the Black families or Black communities that we exist in. And so when we talk about mental health in Black families, there is also this idea of, yeah, unclothing, undressing a lot of the things we think that's just the way things are, because nothing really in human society at this point, it's just the way things are, it's the way things have made to be, which is both good in a way, because you realize if something by humans can be made to be a certain way, you as a human have this full capacity and right to change and question that to a way that makes more sense to you personally or in your community or in your family. So in our family structures, there are a lot of things that we do take for granted, and mental health is not something that is prioritized the same way. There is also a lot of leaning towards our religious heritage or components in our families or in our everyday life to handle situations that might need therapy or other tools of management. I'm not one to say that religion or your own spirituality can't help you with coping and managing mental issues. Of course it can. Just that, to know that it's also okay to broaden your tools and how you heal by seeking help outside of those things. In relation to that, of course, there is the fact that often mental issues are quite dismissed and or normalized because it's something, like I said, that is passed down and through generations, and we might see it as that's just the way you are, or that's just the way we are. Yeah, like just even reflecting back on my own case study, my own family, and seeing how my mom used to be after work, or even her handling her own post-traumatic stress disorder, in the fact that, like I said, and I think a lot of African parents have this. I've talked to a few of my own friends, and they have parents who have a lot of traumatic experiences from their childhood. And forget us, like my own friends, but even if we dig further, we do realize that, okay, a lot of our, especially now speaking particularly to African parents, them just surviving wars, surviving famine sometimes, surviving just civil unrest and social unrest constantly, surviving indoctrination, surviving self-hate, surviving so many things in a way that we take for granted, in the sense that now just becomes just that was life. life. And we, as the younger generation, have the means, thankfully, because of our parents willing to fight for us to have a better life, even if it was economically. We have the freedom to then question the mental well-being that was often not prioritized when you're just trying to survive, which makes sense on a survival hierarchy perspective, that you take care of the most basics first before you can venture into the intangibles that are just as important for a well-balanced and well holistically healthy existence. But our parents survived a lot, and survival was the goal of most things. And now we have the opportunity to seek to thrive and do more than just survive. So obviously that comes with a lot of other responsibilities for our own self and trying to understand our own mental condition, our own spiritual condition, but also to reflect on that of our parents and hopefully see them differently. How they chose to survive, or the only way they could survive theirs, was perhaps focused more on the external things rather than the internal things. And now we have the privilege of realizing, okay, the external things don't have a lot of foundation and balance without the internal. Like Lauryn Hill says, how are you going to win if you ain't right within, right? In the sense that everything has to start within. If our minds are not right, if our minds are not grounded, if our minds are not healthy, how do we expect to create healthy people, healthy families, healthy communities, countries, continents? It's impossible. That's also why I'm quite fascinated by Black thinkers and revolutionaries that also took that component into question, the mental well-being, and not just emancipating Black people physically, but also emotionally and spiritually and psychologically. I think that is quite important. Of course I do, because I am quite passionate about the holistic liberation in general and holistic healing and existence in general. So I do question those things as well. And luckily there's a lot of work that has been done by Black authors and thinkers. Like, one that always comes to mind is Frantz Fanon, as well as I think Dr. Joy Gray, who talked about post-traumatic slave disorder, and as well as John Henry Clark. He's one of my favorite Black thinkers, and he has such a holistic perspective to it. And others that talk about how religion also affects us emotionally and spiritually and mentally, and how enslavement through colonization was a holistic venture, and therefore our healing and liberation from it should also be approached from a holistic perspective. So what that means for me going forward is obviously to keep on the path of seeking holistic healing and existence for myself, and also exploring ways that that is done and how we share that, how we talk about it, how we create dialogues and open community acceptance of the idea that we have to take care of ourselves mentally and spiritually and emotionally, and that will help us in the pursuit of liberating ourselves physically, and that all those things are obviously connected, because our oppression and our enslavement was done in a way that took all those things into account. The idea was to colonize a person holistically, that included mentally, spiritually, intellectually, and physically. And physically can be in our living circumstances, and even the liberation that I take in dressing myself, which is also something I do talk about, like even the way we clothe ourselves or find pleasure in how we present from a style perspective, can be used as a tool of decolonization. It's not that you even have to go full native clothing, but just including more pieces, or just dressing in a way that is more true to yourself, and not, I've been told you can't wear stripes and dots, da da da. I mean, excuse my language, but F all that. Dress the way, like, that's also part of mental liberation, how you accept to perceive and present yourself to the outer world from a place of autonomy and sovereignty. So just, I hope that these reflections also help you to just get curious about that and curious about your own approach to your mental well-being and existence. In the last episode, I talked about the African philosophy of balance and harmony, but I'm thinking that I could be interested in exploring other mental and emotional sustaining and healing practices that we can find in our own African heritage across the African continent and even in the diaspora that are more true and grounding. I'm curious about exploring more of that as I also, of course, explore my own mental well-being. I would like to end by saying that when I sought to see a therapist last year, and it's something that I'm quite interested in also keeping as part of my own mental hygiene, it was important for me that the therapist I found was also into holistic healing and existing. So finding a Black woman who grew up in Angola, who has been educated in the West, but also is quite aware of the limitations of that. I was just so lucky because she also was quite aware of HSPs, well educated in that, and also from her own African perspective, including that in the therapy, and just it made me feel fully seen. You know, I was not trying to explain something. She understood the African heritage, not that it's a monolith, but just you get what I mean, that the upbringing, the religion that we include in our existence, the traumas that are passed on into our families. Having such a space to heal from and get therapy from was holistically, I felt embraced holistically, and I felt seen holistically, and that made my healing feel more grounded. Just to say that when you do seek therapy, I know there's not a lot of healing or healers out there or therapists out there that do that, but it is a growing number. Even the services I seek to offer with my holistic healing and life coaching, even though I prefer to call it guiding, that those are things I do take into account, seeing the person holistically from decolonization, from racism, from the homophobia we experience, from the sexism we experience, from just everything. You have to have an intersectional approach because our oppression is so intersectional as well, right? So basically, that's what I want to leave you with. I hope you're well. I hope you're enjoying summer and spring coming full circle, and that you're taking care of yourself, as I always say, holistically. And yeah, don't be a stranger. If you hear my podcast, you can always reach out on my Instagram, May in Bloom, or visit Bloom Baby Bloom, which is going through a bit of a transition, so I'm not doing much on there as of now, but I am around, and the best place I can recommend is my Instagram, which I check more frequently. Otherwise, do take care, and of course I will talk to you in my next episode. Bye.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out here or on our website, bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self.